This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
There's so many ways that we can access music today. We literally have all the world's music. It's just a tap away on our devices. But do we have the urge to explore new music, or do we stick with the music that we're familiar with? Well, here to answer just that is Timothy McHenry, Professor of Music from ACU. Tim, welcome to Joy Drive.
Good to be here.
Tim, how much are we listening to music in 2023 on average?
That's really interesting. There was an industry survey that showed we're listening to more music. It's 20 hours a week on average across, 25 countries. It's a huge sort of examination of different practices around the world. But what's also interesting is that, this tends to reduce over time. So as will come as no surprise, adolescents, teenagers are intensely interested in music and, they're spending 20% of their waking hours listening to music in one form or another. But once you're into adulthood, that drops right down to 13%.
Wow.
Tim, I've heard this phrase, open-earedness. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's a term academics use to try and come to grips with the extent to which we are willing to engage with different types of music. It isn't a comment on music taste. It's nothing other than an observation about behaviour. What we know is that really young kids are very open-eared. They're happy to listen to anything. Teenagers are a bit more discerning. They like what they like. Open-earedness increases in young adulthood, but then it declines across our lives as we age.
So when does it start to decline? Like, is it in our 30s or what point and by how much?
Yeah, it's late 20s. Judging how much is difficult. Mm-hmm. We not only listen to music less, but our negative feelings about music increase.
Tim, is this something that's been consistent throughout time? I think of my parents when I was a teenager and in my early 20s and say, oh, the music you listen to is atrocious, Warren. It's just terrible. And I must admit, I hear some music today and I think, oh my goodness, the pop music of today. Am I just becoming them? Is this something that has just been consistent?
It does seem to be something that we can track back across the generations. I mean, you can look at classical writings about music by, people like Aristotle. He doesn't exactly say that he doesn't like young people's music, but he doesn't trust young people with music. Mm-hmm. So it's clearly something that's common to the human experience over a long time.
We're chatting to Timothy McHenry, Professor of Music at ACU, about why we stop exploring new music as we get older. And actually, Tim, you've just mentioned that we basically start to listen to less music in general, not just new music. Does it also have to do with like the pressures of adulthood? You have less time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, charting behaviour is straightforward. Explaining that behaviour is hard. And so there are a few different complementary explanations that scholars have come up with. And, a really simple one is less time, that teenagers might have more discretionary time. Combine that with their interest. Adults, they've got the pressures of work, caring, life. There is less time.
Tim, it's interesting. Today, I must admit, I think sometimes I'm a bit reluctant to new music, but I get exposed to it here on Joy and I think, I really love that track. Today, on the drive in, I was playing with the controls in my car and I must have knocked the station and it went to Classic FM and I thought, I'm going to leave it on this, and I listened to it really loudly all the way down and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So could it also be that, we're in such a stressed environment that we listen to, certain types of music might be more appealing to us? Like today, I felt quite relaxed listening to it in the car.
Yeah, look, classical music is one that people tend to like more as they get older. Again, explaining why that's the case is not so easy. It's very tempting for people to say, that's because our taste improves as it ages. Uh-huh. But the data doesn't bear that out. The data bears out the notion that taste shrinks at the level of population. A lot of people quite upset with that research because they say, I'm you know, I still listen to new music. I still, it's not about individuals. It's about populations, this research. Right. So in terms of, what we immediately like, as far as we can tell, you know, neuroscience comes to bear here, is that it's very much to do with familiarity. What we call our taste, as in our instant, you know, knee-jerk reaction to what we hear, is really about familiarity. That our brains pick up on patterns in music that we know and like, whether it's the sort of instruments that are there or the sort of harmonies. And our brains know that certain musical patterns give us pleasure. So if we hear those musical patterns, we think we like it because we know that we've liked it in the past. And that doesn't just mean old favourites. It also means music that we instantly find attractive. So that classical music that you liked, it's possible that it might have had some chord progressions in common with bands you like, because there's lots that unites music. Mozart and U2 have more in common than they have that keeps them apart.
The other thing is we have Triana Butler comes onto Drive on a Friday and introduces us to all the new music that's been released on a Friday. And it's interesting because the ones that I tend to like tend to mimic some of the, you know, perhaps the era of when I was growing up or in my 20s and listening to radio and appreciating music more. So maybe that is true.
Yeah, I think, you know, the neuroscience is pretty robust on this point. I think all of us have something to benefit from expanding our horizons when it comes to musical taste. If it's true that what our taste is simply a question of familiarity with patterns, then listening to music more widely and sort of being determined to give things a listen and not just write it off instantly, it's a useful thing to do because it will expand our taste and we'll have more opportunities to enjoy different types of music.
It's super interesting. Do you have any tips or tricks for anyone that does want to potentially expand their musical horizons as they age or just in general?
Yeah, for sure. One of the really interesting observations from the scholarship is that the more modes of listening that we undertake, the more robust our musical taste and musical listening is likely to be. So what I mean by that is, you know, we use music in different ways. There's participatory, which is where you might sing in a choir or play in a band. There is formal, where you go to a concert. There's focused, where you sit down and actually I'm listening to music now. That's what I'm doing. There's informal, where it's just on in the background. And there's social, which is, you know, to be enjoyed with friends at parties and so on. And each of these different modes of listening is likely to expose you to different repertoires. And taken together, it's a really good recipe to keep your taste fresh. Another quick tip is, you know, take recommendations from people you like. You know, actually explore friendships and, you know, family connections to hunt out new music. You know, it's all very well to have Spotify suggesting something new to us, but I can promise you that algorithm is feeding you something that's going to be quite familiar to what you already like because it wants you to keep listening.
True.
But a recommendation from a friend, you're likely, based on the friendship, to persist with it, even if you don't immediately like it.
Tim, what about passive listening? Because one of the scenarios you gave us is, you know, if you're out with friends or you're in a social setting, does it still broaden our horizons if it's just kind of like in the background, or do we need to be like actively listening to it?
I think active listening probably enables us to identify patterns and expand taste more effectively.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that passive listening doesn't. What's interesting is that, you know, some of the data around how we use music as we age may not be perfect. And one of the reasons it may not be perfect is because it's possible that adults don't account properly for the extent to which they do listen to new music. So if you're a busy adult and you're listening to a podcast and that podcast introduces music into your life, you mightn't think that you're exploring new music. Whereas a teenager who's keeping track of the bands, is interested in the personalities and the purpose behind the songs, is kind of assembling information in their brains around the music, they're more aware of their new music listening than an adult for whom, you know, they're not trying to forge identity. But, yeah, so it's hard to know and we probably need to learn more on that front.
Tim, this is really interesting. I'm thinking that it's also providing more of an argument for not listening to algorithm-streamed music and perhaps channel surfing on your radio in the car?
Look, I, you know, as someone who lived before streaming and during streaming, it's really interesting. I remember, you know, just going to record stores and just flicking through.
Yes.
And sometimes I'd pick something just on spec, you know, as I would have no idea who they were or what it sounded like, but I'd just say, this looks interesting, I'll try it out. And I wonder whether the sort of Spotify style algorithm recommendations are as robust as that. But look, what's interesting is you know, the idea that young people's taste is somehow narrowing as a result of streaming, I don't think that argument bears out at all. I think because we have so much music to access, we don't have big tribes of music anymore. You go back to the 70s and, you know, you were either in the ABBA camp or in the Kiss camp. or but you go back to the 60s and you're either in the Beatles or the Rolling Stones camp, whereas, you know, we don't necessarily have camps now.
That's true.
You know, to the same extent, because there are hundreds of little microcultures that you know, the web facilitates and that, you know, young people clearly explore, which is why it really frustrates me when I hear older people saying, oh, I don't like young people's music, it's all doof doof. You know, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. You know, there's such a diversity there.
This is fascinating. I have to admit, I was in the ABBA camp except for Shandy. I didn't mind that Kiss song, but that was about it. Tim, fantastic. Thank you so much for chatting with us on Joy Drive.
You're most welcome.
That's Tim McHenry, Professor of Music at ACU.
Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.